What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Toasty Podcast. Today, we've got vaccine mandates. KBJ is confirmed by the Senate. Steve Portnoy gets truth from Psaki. That's a first.
And then she put Alabama lawmakers on notice by the DOJ.
Meanwhile, Stelter stumbles against a college student.
We talk about DC abortion atrocities going on right now. And lastly, Rush Limbaugh was right about Biden, the clairvoyant Rush.
Of course he was. All that and more on this episode, so let's get toasty. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Toasty Podcast. If you're looking for the number one politics, society, and culture podcast, you've come to the right place. Sky created the Toasty brand to empower independent thinkers such as himself to stand up for what they believe in. We call that staying toasty. If you support our work, please subscribe and tell others about our show. Send.
Boom! Oh, that's it, baby. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Toasty Podcast. My name is Sky.
And I'm Maddie B.
And we just sent our freaking recommendation to the Better Discourse Conference number 4. It is happening in Fort Worth. We just kind of started to get on that whole train there.
Hopefully we'll be a part of it. If not, we're at least going to go.
Heck yeah, bro. If you guys want to be there, well, you should be there, honestly. But VIP tickets are about $175 and I don't know, man. That's a lot of money, but also it's not for what it is, in my opinion. I don't know. It just depends. I want to be able to talk to like-minded people. That's what I want, mainly. You know what I mean? So, Anywho, if you're listening for the first time, welcome, and I'm glad you're listening. Please like, share, and subscribe, with the main one being share our show. We talk about politics, society, and culture, and, you know, we really just get into it, me and Matt. Get into it.
Big time. Get into it real deep.
Real deep. Anywho, the first thing I want to talk about today, appeals court okays Biden. Okay, look, here's the thing. I thought we were done with this. I thought we were, you know, through the storm with the whole COVID thing. But yet here we are, still getting news about it. The appeals court finally okayed Biden's federal employee vaccine mandate. I don't know if you guys remember, because, you know, it's been so long in the news cycle. A Texas judge told Biden, and
there was this thing called COVID once.
Yeah, there was a thing called COVID once, and
before,
Biden was like,
"All Russia invaded Ukraine,
all the federal employees have to get vaccinated." And, you know, of course, everyone's in uproar. This is insane. Trucker convoy happens in Canada, and whatever, right? This is actually long before the trucker conference or trucker. What did I say? Conference, trucker convoy, trucker blockade, protest, whatever. And a judge in Texas blocked it. A federal judge in Texas blocked it and was like, yo, you can't do that. Sorry. So he set an injunction for it. We just now, months later, after all this crap and the dust has settled, and except in Russia and Ukraine, the dust has risen again. And here we are talking about COVID again right now. How dumb. Also, I don't know if it means anything. Like, it doesn't matter now. Those federal employees that didn't want to get vaccinated, aren't they gone now? Like, didn't they just say, okay, fine, peace out like a trout?
No.
You think they're still there and they didn't get vaccinated? They're still holding out?
I mean, I'm sure there's some. Not many, but...
Well, I wonder how much actual...
Sure, if you work for the federal government, you're used to, you know, just doing whatever they tell you to do.
I just wonder how much this actually matters to them. Like, I wonder if they can still just get away with not getting vaccinated anyway. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's my little rant on that whole thing. I hate the fact that this gets brought up again and everyone's covering it. It's not just like, oh, this is a leftist media tactic. No, dude, literally all the news sources you can think of, 68 sources to be exact, including the big names, are covering this. Wow.
You know? As far as the vaccine mandate goes?
Yes, dude. Like, no one I maybe it's refreshing to not see a Ukraine headline, but, you know, then again, wow. Anyway, dude, I don't know, man. It is what it is. How's your life, dude? Tell me what's going on in your life.
Man, it's good.
Man, it's good.
Wyoming is, like, getting really close to walking. I was, like, holding his hands today. I know, it's crazy.
For real?
Yeah. I was, like, holding his hands today, and he was just, like, taking his steps, you know, walking, like...
When do babies normally walk?
Like 10 months to a year. So like now.
For real? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know it was that soon, bro. Babies are crazy, man.
Well, they say geniuses. They say like it could take up to 18 months. And if your baby's not walking by 18 months, then it's like, okay, you need to get the ball rolling. But
right, apologies for messing with the mic. And just
10 to like 14 months is like average.
All I'm saying is, yeah, but okay, so but isn't it like in one of those things where don't they have some kind of studies that show if they walk later, they're smarter? Does that exist?
No. I mean, Edison was known for speaking very late in life. And so
speaking.
So was Einstein, yeah.
Yeah, it was speaking. Well, they probably had a small form of not Asperger's, autism. They probably had a small autism.
Most autistic. Right. Edison, he didn't speak until he was 4 years old.
What? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah. That's like a ridiculously long time.
Yeah, that is. Holy crap.
I think for Einstein it was like 2. So not that much longer, 2? But oh, yeah. No. About a year longer than average and normal.
Yeah, but next thing you know, he's like slapping formulas in his mom's face.
I mean, he's literally defining
B=mc².
He's literally defining relativity,
Oh, I know. Wild, bro. And now we're proving it wrong. Or proving it right, sorry. We're proving it right. Yeah. My bad. Proving him right.
Proving it correct. Theories.
Speaking of autism, do you think there is this is gonna be one of those things that's like put on your tinfoil hat? It's kind of spiritual though too. Do you think that people with autism like are able to connect with like higher being, God or something like it?
I think they're definitely
because they're more internally.
Yeah, I was gonna say probably because I feel like the more distracted you are and like separated you are from the natural order in nature.
Do you mean like more separated you are from exterior like society? Could you just say more separated you are from society?
I think sometimes like the more involved you are in this society in particular, you definitely get more and more removed.
I guess he was okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you're saying that he was not as involved in society as he was in nature. Is that what you're telling me right now? The way you explain it, I can't. Like, I'm thinking
sorry,
about how.
So,
you,
like, when I say natural order, I'm thinking about like the way things are naturally occurring.
Okay.
Like, for instance,
circle of life.
Yeah, kind of. Like, today we learn at a very different rate than we did. Because there are so many more distractions. Like, just for instance, I mean, cell phones are a huge distraction. Sports are a huge distraction. There's Hollywood gossip, trivia, that sort of thing is just a huge distraction. So I feel like it's not only for adults, but for kids, it's a huge learning impediment. So, and I also feel like it's a distraction away from spirituality in some certain sense, and definitely a distraction away from like God. So,
okay. So you think that less of those distractions is better for,
100%.
And you're saying Einstein really didn't have those normal distractions that everyone has even back then. Cause there's always a type of distraction back then. Like what would it be? It'd be something like playing ball in the field, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, A lot of times, I don't know if they knew
what football was yet, but
be drinking and womanizing and hunting and that sort of thing. Things that men womanizing. Actually would do, back
womanizing,
in the day.
Dude. I'm all about the like a classic male, if you will.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be a classic male. Masculinity. It should be the normal masculinity. It's not toxic either. It's like, we need that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm seeing more of? More women calling out for that. It's probably just because I follow the right women on Twitter, but whatever. They're like, we need more masculinity.
No, that's 1,000% true.
Bro, but it's so lacking that we're like low testosterone, all this stuff. It's like, whoa. And check this out. So there's a big study that basically put two males side by side, photoshopped. One's masculine, one's not. One's like more curvy and like not jawlined and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And they did a study where younger generation actually chose the less testosterone.
Oh my God.
Now here's the thing. Here's the only reason. Creepy. The only reason they did this story is to prove that first of all, we know that testosterone is a genetic, can be a genetic issue, having low testosterone naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Besides all the stuff you might add to yourself now. If someone breeds with, this is hilarious, humans, I'm talking about humans breeding, but if they have kids with a low testosterone, like average, then you're just going to have lower and lower testosterone.
Right.
And that's one of the theories about why we have low testosterone, because this has been happening for decades, not just like all of a sudden. You know, it's been going steadily lower for decades.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like...
Well, I think that whole like being attracted to the dad bod is more of like a newer phenomenon. Like,
well, dad bod isn't
this generation,
even,
last generation.
Yeah, but dad bod is not even what I'm really talking about, right? Because dad bod doesn't mean they're not masculine men.
Okay.
Not physically.
Let me
masculine.
Rephrase that. So, whatever you know, you were describing was the
female man, the feminist, the freaking
more feminine,
the beta male. I'm describing the beta male. I'm not right, describing okay. the dad bod, right?
Got it. So. I think that's more of a recent attraction, like within like Gen Z and that sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, you're right. The study did not, like so, I said, younger generation. So
right, so I think that whole decades and decades of testosterone being lower is definitely
can't
not
be
just
that, right?
not just from breeding, but yep. I think it's from I honestly think it's from our diet. It's a huge component is our diet and then our sedentary lifestyle. Those two things are like, you know,
well, and
the
then,
two
and then,
biggest factors for lowering testosterone, processed foods and...
Right.
And,
well, and recently I was talking to a guy about cancer, computer. And he's like, you know, cancer is technically just a basically a gene change. Like, it changes your DNA so slightly that your cells are now doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like... And it's been, and we've had more and more cancer as well over the past
right.
decades. And he's like, so what if that's actually affecting the genetics of testosterone? Not, you know, so foods and things we might eat. What if, you know? And it's mm-hmm. like, man, you know, it just makes me want to, you know, black pill, build a compound, live outside, and grow all my stuff. But anyway,
preaching to the choir over here.
Preaching to the choir. Hallelujah. Anyway,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, gosh.
Dude, those movies are freaking hilarious, bro.
I haven't seen a single Tyler Perry movie in my whole life.
What?
None.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
The guy is hilarious.
That's what I've heard. I've heard
it's
really funny.
It's so freaking funny, bro. He probably wouldn't get away with it now. I don't know if he would. Actually, you know what? He probably would. But, like, it's comedy.
It's Tyler Perry.
It's real comedy. It's not just some stupid, you know, fake crap. You know, Chris Rock is getting standing ovations now at his comedy shows, like big time.
Shocker.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
I would.
I would.
Go up on stage.
Oh, dude, let's talk about Elon Musk, dude. Elon Musk buying 9.2% of Twitter.
Oh, yeah, he did that.
Yeah, he did, but people are freaking out like it's going to change instantly. It's not. That's not how that works.
No, it's going to take a little bit of time.
He doesn't own 51%. He owns 9.2%.
Well, he's still the majority shareholder. He's the largest shareholder.
The largest shareholder he is, and he has a vote in the board meeting.
Right.
Essentially is what that is. Yeah. He can't walk in just like he couldn't walk into Tesla, even though he owned the place, and make decisions like that.
Right.
And he was voted out of Tesla. So it's like, dude, this thing can still happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like he still can't just go in and like, yeah, whatever. He still has to freaking vote and like make things happen that way. Turns out, you know, they were working on edit button already. Whatever. Twitter. Stupid. That's what they said.
Lies.
Yeah, but everyone's worried about it. I saw one guy that was like, free speech is dead. Literally his words. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is what you Elon Musk buys a majority share of Twitter and now, and that's what
like
you're going to say.
It's a privately owned company.
Free, but that, well, don't give me that argument. But hold on a second, because that's the argument that they would give us if we said Twitter shouldn't have so much freaking control over censorship. It's a private company, but that's still not good enough for me.
My
it's
argument
too
doesn't
big.
Change, though. Really? I don't care if Twitter bans whoever. I just think they're obviously hypocrites. You know, they allow
like
the Ayatollah. Not according to the law. When they change the law, which I hope they do, I'm a proponent of them changing the law.
Okay, that's what we're talking about, right? Changing the law. Yes, change the law.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't agree with it. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Yeah, right now they're a private company. I can't say anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can still be mad and say, no, they need to change that freaking law, Section 230 or whatever. Because Facebook's doing the same crap, you know?
Exactly.
Anyway, moving on, though. Ketanji Brown, Jackson Brown, Ketanji Jackson Brown. I don't know how
many. I think it's Jackson Brown, like the
Jackson
singer.
Brown. Dude, she has too many names. How many names does she have? Three.
Just now she's Justice Brown. So just call her Justice Brown.
Just use one. Yeah, Justice
Wait,
Brown.
Wait, no, Justice Jackson. Sorry, Miss Jackson.
I am for Thank real.
You. Thank you for catching that. I was just like, I know she's a judge. Like, it's a...
Never meant to make it down and cry. All right, look. She's confirmed as the first black female high court justice. Okay, great.
Neat.
Okay, what I don't care about is the black female part. Here's why. She doesn't even know what a woman is.
Yeah, hilarious. She goes, I'm a woman.
She doesn't know what a woman is. And that's what I don't understand. We were just now in a freaking like court hearing thing about this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, nah, you're good. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. I think Biden just did it because, you know, it was obviously a Biden move for sure.
Well, I mean, she had been on the Fifth Circuit, no, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. So, I mean, that's where Kavanaugh was too.
She has experience, if that's what we're trying to say.
Yeah. Well, and that's the court you're on right before you. That's like the
D.C.
step up to the Supreme Court. Yeah.
It's the tunnel, but the funnel. The only reason I know anything about this girl is because she didn't know what a woman was. That's the only reason. And we've talked about it. You know? Otherwise, I wouldn't know because I can't tell you all the Senate justices.
All the Supreme Court justices?
You probably could, but I can't.
Man,
I can't name them all.
That's close. Let me try. So we've got...
How many are there total?
There's 9.
Okay.
So there's the newest one, which is Jackson. Okay. I was supposed to be like, oh, wait, hold on. What's her name? KBJ. So there's KBJ, who's replacing Breyer, which doesn't count. Don't keep the finger down, bro.
Guys, I'm counting with my fingers. Okay, just
his spangles. You can't see. So there's Jackson.
Okay.
Sotomayor, Kagan, Kennedy, Clarence Thomas, and then there's the three Trump justices. And that would be Neil Gorsuch, Amy Coney Barrett, and Kavanaugh. How many am I up to?
I think you're at 8, bro. Aren't you? Can you stop counting? I was trying to. But I'm still going. I think you're at 8, bro.
Oh, who am I missing? Gosh, I'm missing one.
Barack Obama. No, I'm just kidding.
Whoa. Did I say Kagan?
I think you did. Hold on one second. I'm going to look it up. Supreme Court justices right now. Kagan, you said? Did you say Kagan?
Yeah, I said Elena Kagan and Sotomayor. Those are the two Obama. Go back to the picture. Let me see. Who did I miss?
Here we go right here.
So it's
Alto? Did you get Alto?
Alito? No.
Alito is the one you didn't get. Alito,
yeah.
Beep, beep, beep.
He's like the Republican version of Breyer.
You know what I can't wait for? Having a freaking button. A podcast button.
Bam, bam, bam. Yeah, some crap, I want the soundboard know? Like bad.
Dude,
I want
that would
the
be so freaking sick.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's badass. You got 8.
I know.
You got 8 out of 9, bro.
I knew Alito.
Who else can get 8 out of 9? Please, let us know. But none of you can.
Yeah. And name the ones that were replaced. So there's Ruth Bader Ginsburg that was replaced. There's...
You're going to just name them off? Give the listeners the answers.
And then there was a... The one who passed away.
In today's quiz, here are all the answers.
Scalia.
All right, we're done with that.
Yeah, anyway.
BS.
Supreme Court.
Speaking of all this BS.
She's not going to be an influential justice, so.
You don't think so?
No.
Why?
I just don't think she has like
that
a very...
face, you're like, whatever.
Like, I don't think she has a very stupid. Profound record. I mean, we'll see, but Clarence Thomas is easily the most... You know, influential and profound justice on the court right now.
So I'm going to play this video for you. Guys, if you're listening, I apologize. It's not going to come in very clear, but I am going to try to put it up to the mic so you can hear it. Because why not? You know? But this video is Jen Psaki getting a question from Stephen Portnoy, CBS News. And it's hilarious.
And if you don't know who Jen Psaki is, then she's the redheaded stranger. That's good. That's funny. We're manipulating the mic and putting up the computer old school. What if there's not like a crazy amount of feedback?
Just to put a finer point on some of the questions so far been asked, why shouldn't the images of the atrocities from Bucha compel a worldwide, unified, coalition, kinetic response?
You mean a military war? Tell me more about what you mean.
Or a military response led by the United States and the international partners.
As in bringing military troops on the ground from the United States and NATO.
Well, the president's described outrageous things. You've called them atrocities. You've said perhaps we should brace ourselves for worse. Why not?
I think what the president's objective is and his responsibility is to make decisions that are in the interests of the United States and the national security of the United States and the American people. And that is not to go to war with Russia. It is to do everything in our power to hold them accountable, to support efforts through international systems to do exactly that, and to provide military assistance, security assistance, and support to the Ukrainian people and the Ukrainian government. That's exactly what we're doing. But it is not in our interest or in the interest of the American people for us to be in a war with Russia.
That's a solid answer, right?
Bro, she killed it. I'm not going to lie to you, dude. Point is, dude, I'm mad that I agree with her.
She said the right words.
Okay, she hasn't before, has she? I'm mad that I agree with her in the first place, dude. If she's the most freaking sane one in the room, this is what Tom Seger was saying.
That's why she's leaving, is because she is the most sane one in the room. Ron Klain is running
the show. Tom Seger on Breaking Points, he was like, yo, if she's the most like normal one in the room, the world's gone mad. And yeah, the world has gone mad. Yes, correct.
Duh, where have you been, bro?
Well, okay, he's been on top of it.
I'm just saying.
All right.
The world's been mad.
Yeah, what the heck, man? No.
How can you be surprised at anything that goes on at all?
News reporters, bro, pretty much. So
yeah, that's true.
I can't be like, I'm not surprised, but someone died today. You know, I don't know. That was supposed to be a joke. Comedy's not dead.
Unless, you know, Sky's making a joke.
I gave it to you. Okay.
You put the little ball on the tee and I just nailed it.
That was dumb. All right, go ahead. What are you talking about?
Teed it up.
What are you talking about now? Please tell me.
Well, I'm not going to talk too much about it, but there was this there's a case that's kind of still developing in Washington D.C. of these. It's going to get really like Debbie Downer here, but I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to dwell on it too long. But there was this case of these aborted fetuses that were found in Washington D.C.
What?
Yeah,
where at in Washington?
That were like 30 plus weeks developed, and that's like 7 months plus developed, like basically viable human beings.
But where were they found? What do you mean?
They were basically found. A pro life activist working for as a pro life nonprofit organization and. I don't know the details. They're actually under FBI indictment right now. The pro-life activist and whistleblower, because they had possession of these bodies, and
they're pro-life,
right? So they had possession of these bodies because a whistleblower that worked at the abortion clinic, like basically took possession of them because they were basically in garbage bags, like these bodies were in garbage bags, like they were not properly. Cared for, right? Obviously, but it was like I don't want to get. I will get graphic, but it's you know.
Can you just tell us what happened?
Skip
bro.
This part if you're sensitive to stomach, but like, a perfectly viable baby girl had her skull crushed, incision on the back of her neck, basically to snip the spinal cord, and then her brain sucked out, like stuff like that, and it's. Case after case after case, and these were like I said, like 7 month, you know, these are third trimester abortions, partial birth abortions, and some cases possibly and most likely infanticide, like the babies were born and then just allowed to die. It's pretty messed up stuff, and the Washington D.C. Metropolitan Police is not investigating at all. No autopsies will be performed. They literally did a basic visual inspection of the bodies, a layman visual inspection, like not even the coroner, and said, yeah, these are just aborted fetuses, and then declined to investigate further, which is ridiculous because, first of all, these were found at a, you know, someone's house, or someone's, you know, had possession of these bodies that did not work at the clinic, right? So that by itself should be means of or cause for investigation, right?
Yeah, I don't understand how we can just ignore Like, no, that's not murder or homicide or anything. That's just normal.
And
what the heck, dude?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy what they're getting away with, right? But yeah, that's a story maybe you want to look into more. Maybe it's too graphic. Like, if you're already a pro-lifer, then honestly, don't look up the images,
because
you can find
it.
Them.
You already get
but
it.
But if you're
right.
if you're pro-choice, then look up the story, Google it, and rethink your position.
I don't like. Okay, I agree with rethinking their position. I feel like that argument or that not argument but that method
tactic
is like telling a motorcycle like rider like or a kid that's about to get a motorcycle. You know, I know my cousin died from riding a motorcycle. It's like I hated that, and I used to ride a motorcycle. You've ridden a motorcycle, dude.
Yeah.
And all your family, bro. My family knew it was like
right.
Someone died on a motorcycle. Every single time I talk to them, I'm like, can you just stop talking about that? Like, I'm still going to ride a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not the best
analogy
because you're not killing something. But, you know, it never made me want to not ride it.
Right.
You know? And this isn't the same thing.
Yeah, this is like way different.
Because you can't, this is way different. But still, I don't like the tactic doesn't seem like it would work for me. I don't know. Maybe it works for people. I have
well,
heard
a big
lot
difference
say,
in
hey,
looking at someone.
I didn't know what they were actually doing, and now I do.
There's a
I
big difference in looking at someone that does like, that makes a decision as an adult and gets into an accident and hurts themselves. That's one thing. That's a risk, and that's a risk you know you're willing to take. These are innocent children being murdered. That's
what you say.
Yeah. Like these are victims. Okay, these aren't like victims of circumstance. These are murder victims. Straight up.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. Yeah, you're right. So, you're right, dude. It's totally not the same. It's a lot more intense. And it's not necessarily their choice to make, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, it's not at all their choice to make.
Right.
But they can feel pain, and they were ripped limb from limb, literally.
Okay.
So.
Humans cannot. I don't think they should have the choice of who lives and dies. Anyway. That's bottom line.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll
have you ever? Oh, go ahead.
No, that was it. We'll move on.
Yeah, have you ever yawned and then like during your yawn you spit?
Oh yeah.
Like what is that called?
Gleek.
Gleek.
Yeah.
Who came up with that? Do you know? Gleek.
Maybe it was Jiminy Glick.
I don't think it was.
Do you know who Jiminy Glick is?
No, I don't. Tell me.
He's a fictional character created by Martin Sheen, and it's hilarious. He would always do these. It was funny back in like the 2000s.
Oh. Fictional character. Go ahead.
Yeah. So he would be like Martin Short. Sorry, not Martin Sheen. Martin Short, the comedian from, you know, stand-up SNL. Anyway, he would get in this fat suit and just interview people and just like stuff himself with like donuts and candy and stuff and just like play the fat. It's total like, you know, fat phobia today. You couldn't get away with it, right? But back then, you know, when comedy existed, it was hilarious. And he would do these like seemingly, it was like a Between Two Ferns almost with Zach Galifianakis.
Bro. Have you
kinda
seen
like,
that?
Yeah, kind of like that style, dude. You know, where like you don't know if the comedian, the actor's in on it, but they, you know, they obviously are because it's Martin Short. Like, you know, it's Martin Short in a fat suit, right? And you know Zach Galifianakis is a
yeah, but you
hilarious
know, in
comedian,
between
so.
Between Two Ferns, all the actors in on it?
Yeah,
for real.
Yeah,
bro, they played really freaking
well. They're
well.
Actors.
Don't say that because some actors can't do that crap. Yeah.
Some actors, can't hold it.
You
some
have the title actor. Yeah. I could put an actor title on me. Would I be good at it? No. Some actors are able to do that, by the way. They were bad actors.
Yes.
You know?
I agree.
Like Tom Cruise.
Yes, they have like 50 takes. yeah, it's hilarious. Jiminy Glick. And there's a movie he did, Jiminy Glick and La La Wood. And it's so funny. If you like that kind
well,
of humor.
Well, speaking of fictional characters, though, Disney.
Oh, gosh.
They made probably the worst business decision.
Dude,
they could have made.
What they did is they stepped in a big old thing of quicksand. And they're like, I know what I'll do. I'll use my face to pull it out. And they just stuck their face straight in.
I'll use my face to pull it out.
And they're just so.
They're done, dude.
They're screwed. Well, not screwed, but they.
They put themselves
they
in a hole.
In big
they
time.
Dug
yeah.
themselves a hole, bro. And
tons of people are canceling Disney Plus.
Yeah,
internationally.
Like, look, and not spending vacation money. You know how much it averages? Like $10,000 for a Disney World trip.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
you can do a lot
ridiculous.
More things for $10,000. Your whole family, by the way, can do a lot more
yeah.
things for $10,000. Holy
Y'all
crap!
You can go to the Caribbean. You can go skiing.
There
you
are ski trips. Yeah, there are freaking cruise ships. Yeah. There are Canadian trips. You could literally
nice
fly to
$10,000.
Europe and fly out of country for that. Mm-hmm. Well, your whole family. Mm-hmm. Your whole family. Probably pay for like the vacation service that gets you all-inclusive stuff. Not even have to worry about anything. Point is, Disney's expensive. That's overpriced, okay?
Yeah.
Walt Disney, what the heck are you doing? But here's what I wanted to say about
making
that.
Money.
I don't agree with their decisions they made recently. However, and I know there's tinfoil hat conspiracies about their childhood movies like Lion King, you know, where it says sex in the sky or whatever, right? You've heard about that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And there's like on one of the songs, yeah, maybe it's true. Here's what I'll say. My brother is a video game. I'm sorry to drag you into this, Kai, but my brother, whoa, I said his name. Anyway, whatever.
It's like he's never been on the podcast before.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. He's been on the podcast, guys.
He's in the intro.
Like, he's like a lead producer for ArenaNet, right? Big deal. Guild Wars 2, you know, they make a pretty sweet game for people that like that type of stuff. But they will throw little things in the game that no one will ever see, and it's just funny to them. And like, I don't know if they do that kind of stuff.
Why not?
But I kind of sides of that.
You don't think video game developers like put penises like in little like funny places? What if, dude? That'd be so fun.
Oh, look at the little penis. It's just funny to them or whatever, right? If that's their humor.
Yeah.
You know, and I can see that happening at Disney when the artists are like, you know, no kid's going to really recognize this, thank goodness, but this is hilarious. Yeah, what if, dude? And you're talking about movies that were made in the 60s and 70s when kids didn't always know about freaking sex, you know? So going from that aspect, I'm like, I don't know where to go with this. I'm not going to say that they're wrong or right here. Could have easily been that. But that's just because I know the video game style and how they do things and artists do things.
Well, now the thing is, I don't think it's that subliminal anymore. Like back then, it was just like it was something funny that you could only do. Like when it spells sex in the dust, and yeah. Lion King, like you have to pause it at the exact, like there's like two frames where it actually
right.
says it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like that, it goes by in literally a quarter of a second.
And those
you don't
be,
perceive that.
Right.
Especially a kid doesn't perceive that. So it's there for the animators as a joke, right?
Yeah.
Same with the penis in The Little Mermaid. I don't know if you've seen that, but that is hilarious. And on the cover of Little Mermaid.
Oh, I've heard about it. I haven't looked at it.
Yeah, so
I haven't gone and seen.
Anyway, that's just like that's like so far subliminal, like it's not even perceptible, right? Like I never thought about that when I was watching Lion King as a little kid. Like,
right.
Come on,
no, I didn't.
But
I watched it in theaters and still didn't think that.
Yeah, these producers today are saying like, oh yeah, we're adding in all these background characters that are, you know, LGBT characters, and they're making it really obvious. They're having them like kiss in the background, and it's like,
well, that Disney's pledged to do 50% of their characters will be LGBT,
right?
By LGBTQ plus whatever by the end of what, 2022 or 2023, something like that.
Yeah, which is like
they're ramping it up. Okay, yeah. That's push. That's actually a push.
Right, exactly.
So it went from an artist joke to that's actually a push, bro.
To subliminal messaging and like direct messaging.
So bottom line is I'm not going to not go to Disney World ever again. Like let's say I have kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they like kid stuff. Mm-hmm. I would go with them probably to a theme park. That's fun. It depends on what Disney does from now on. It might be terrible. But I'm also not going to not show them movies that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Lion King, you know, these like Little Mermaid, like Aladdin, like those movies
I agree.
Kid,
well, yeah.
Do you think I ever knew? No. And I never even thought about it until when? Till right freaking now.
Because
everyone
did
is talking
now.
About it. And I'm 27 years old, bro. That's like, okay, they're not going to care. Kids aren't going to know. They're not going to be in Florida. Oh, I guess it wouldn't matter anymore, but they're not going to be in Florida to get taught this stuff as a freaking kid.
Right.
You know, I guess Florida is the only state that's really doing that right now.
Actually, so real quick, another
on the gay laws not gay laws. I shouldn't say that. People will actually think it's real.
Yes,
but on the sexual ed laws.
Yeah. So there's another bill in. This is actually kind of a creepy story from guess where? Daily Wire. So
I
anyway,
yeah, dude. You want to go ahead and stroke it and get it out now?
This is from the Daily Wire. Amanda.
Apologies, guys, for the sexual jokes.
Presta Giacomo. Republican lawmakers protecting kids from puberty blockers, trans surgeries, quote, put on notice by the Department of Justice. Creepy. So, I'm going to read a little bit.
Lay it on me, dude.
But so here we go. So Jen Psaki said they would be, quote, put on notice by the DOJ, quote, and this is, so Alabama passed a similar bill that goes through fifth grade, so they're one-upping Florida by going from third grade to fifth grade. It's like from kindergarten to fifth grade, nobody can...
well, if you think about it, we didn't even have sexual education until sixth grade.
Yeah, of course, because it makes sense. A parental rights bill that eliminates teachers, quote, instruction on sexuality and gender identity between kindergarten and fifth grade. That's the Alabama Senate just passed it, and the governor of Alabama is, you know, obviously super duper duper red, and he is going to sign that bill. But Jen Psaki said, quote, Alabama lawmakers and other legislators who are contemplating these discriminatory bills have been put on notice by the Department of Justice and the Department of Health and Human Services that laws and policies preventing care that health care professionals recommend or transgender minors may violate the Constitution and federal law. Like, you have a constitutional right as a child to mangle your genitals. What? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's so not, that's not right, right?
Yeah, that's basically saying, like, it's not up to the parents to determine that, like, how they're going to raise their kid. It's up to raise themselves. And, of course, they're brainwashed.
Let's go ahead and bring the smoking and the drinking age down, then. Let's go ahead and bring it down to freaking 5 years old.
Yeah.
Why not?
Ridiculous.
Because that's the same thing, isn't it? Let's go ahead and treat these 5- and 6-year-olds like adults.
Yeah.
So, that's insane.
The article goes on. Psaki claimed that Republicans fighting for such parental rights and protecting kids from irreversible trans surgeries and treatments are, quote, engaging in a disturbing, cynical trend of attacking vulnerable transgender kids for purely partisan political reasons. There's no... Okay, transgender kids...
Like, that wasn't even a part of it. Attacking, we're not attacking anyone, I don't think.
Well, yeah, I don't think so. And, yeah, attacking
vulnerable transgender kids. We just said sexual education...
Right,
like, and not pushing something on them.
Right, exactly. If a parent wants to do that to their kid, Alabama's not doing anything about that. Texas actually did something about that.
Right.
And said that, parents, no, you can't do that. That's actually child abuse, which I totally agree with. It is 100%.
Because they're not in the right. They can't make their own decisions.
Yeah, and for you as a parent to make that decision, quote, like, for them, right? Like, that's not right. That's really messed up. And the fact that that's now like a virtue signal, or like a, you know what I mean? It's messed up.
That screws them up for life.
It's like, I've got a Mercedes in my garage and a trans 6-year-old.
I would love to have, I want to hear, see, if we go to this conference, Blair White's freaking take on this stuff.
Yeah.
I want to hear her.
Yeah. What age do you think it's appropriate to, like, lop off, you know, your genitals? And
well, she's already spoke out against it, so I already know her take is she doesn't agree. But, you know, she's like, this is insane. You know, she is – by the way, guys, if you don't know who Blair White is, she is a trans from a man. But she also is a conservative and interesting, to say the least. But she's healthy. She's doing her thing, you know, so I don't know. I don't know, man. Anyway, speaking of the whole trans thing, that's crazy, dude. Get more?
Just that, real quick, an Amsterdam study reported on 127 adolescents, 79 of them boys, and found that 80 of these adolescents, or about 2/3, had desisted, that is now identified as, you know, quote, cisgender.
So that right there was actually in the same conference that Jen Psaki was having, like the same as the one that I showed the video of.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And she's done after this year?
She's done after, like, this month.
Wow.
She's probably going to go to MSNBC. Well, it was leaked that she's in talks with MSNBC, which is, like, a super-duper conflict of interest, right? Like, there's one thing if Kayleigh McEnany, if Trump loses the election, and then, you know, Kayleigh McEnany gets in Fox with Fox News after...
What? Gets in talks with Fox News.
After she's out of office, right? After the Trump administration's gone. It was, like, months after. Mm-hmm. You know, so, okay, like, there is that sort of revolving door. Dana Perino was H.W. Bush's press secretary, and she's been on Fox News for a long, long time. And then Stephanopoulos, he was...
Well, I mean, it's the same thing as a football player becoming a commentator. Tony
exactly,
Romo.
Yeah. It's like...
They know the game.
Yeah, you're an expert. Yeah, exactly. You know the game. So they're experts. I don't think there's anything wrong with her going. I just do think it is a conflict of interest for her to be in talk with MSNBC while she is also taking questions from MSNBC.
Right.
Yeah. She should not be taking questions from MSNBC or NBC at all, period.
I think we're so far
but then again, it's
gone
like, it's,
on mainstream media that almost yeah. that's that kind of stuff right there
it's like,
seems small now. Because like they're dead, dude. They're out. You know, as soon as the boomers are gone, they're done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Sad to say, but that's what's going to happen. Who watches CNN and Fox? You know, older generation, maybe? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow, that's insane.
Nobody, but people at airports watch CNN.
Well, speaking of, yeah, right. Speaking of that, same going along the same lines here, we had a college student. So they, okay. It was a disinformation and the erosion of democracy panel, essentially. April 6th through the 8th, and apparently it was held at a college. So they had a conference at this college. I'm guessing this is in Chicago because that's what it's saying. But I'm not quite sure, guys, where it was located, so don't hit me up on that. But this is a video, so that's why I know it was at the conference. College student asks Brian freaking Stelter why CNN is the same as Fox. Like he was saying Fox is this and that and their disinformation and all that. And he was like, well, CNN does the same stuff. So, guys, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm probably going to put the mic up to this speaker, and we're going to see what happens.
Hi, thank you for coming. My name is Christopher Phillips. I'm a first year at the college. My question is for Mr. Stelter. You've all spoken extensively about Fox News being a purveyor of disinformation. But CNN is right up there with them. They push the Russian collusion hoax. They push the Jussie Smollett hoax. They smear Justice Kavanaugh as a rapist. And they also smeared Nick Salmon as a white supremacist. And yes, they dismissed the Hunter Biden laptop affair as pure Russian disinformation. With mainstream corporate journalists becoming little more than apologists and cheerleaders for the regime, is it time to finally declare that the canon of journalistic ethics is dead or no longer operative? All the mistakes of the mainstream media and CNN in particular seem to magically all go in one direction. Are we expected to believe that this is all just some sort of random coincidence, or is there something else behind it?
Too bad it's time for lunch.
You have 30 seconds.
No, I mean, there's a clock that says 30 seconds, but I think my honest answer to you, and I'll come over and talk in more detail after this, is that I think you're describing a different channel than the one that I watch. But I understand that that is a popular right-wing narrative about CNN. I think it's important, when we talk about shared reality and democracy, all these networks, all these news outlets have to defend democracy. And when they screw up, admit it. But when Benjamin Hall, the Fox correspondent, was wounded in Ukraine, the news crews at CNN and the New York Times stopped what they were doing, and they tried to help. They tried to help him get out of the country. They tried to find the dead crew members. That's what news outlets do. That's how they actually do work together, to your question about sharing those kinds of connections and trust. We don't talk about it enough, though. We don't share that reality about how that happens. And with regards to the regime, I think you mean the President Biden. The last time I spoke with a Biden aide, we yelled at each other. So that's the reality of the news business that people don't see, that people don't hear. They imagine that it's a situation that simply is not. But I think your question, it speaks to the failure of journalism to show our work and show the reality of how our profession operates. We have a lot of work to do, I think.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a flailing answer for sure.
Literally, he just went, meow. He didn't even freaking like answer it, really, I mean, you know?
You know how we did that, like the decent, so most dumb. Basic human thing by helping an injured, you know,
this is dumb, dude.
Colleague?
He's like, that's why we have come together.
Like, what?
And he went back to someone else's question. He didn't even answer.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That was dumb to me.
Yeah, that was definitely like the most obfuscation
yeah.
answer you could possibly have. And yeah, that was pretty rough. Pretty rough.
Stupid, dude.
Gosh, when he was like, I was going to say, this is what like the Democrats like to do, is they like to say, like they like to try and do the Jedi mind trick, but it only works on weak-minded individuals.
Yeah, you're not seeing what I'm seeing.
Right. It's like you're not living in the same reality. It's like it's like the mostly peaceful protest as a fire burns right behind them. Like the literally, I mean, you've seen the
Jedi
picture where the Chiron at the bottom says mostly peaceful protest, and literally there's a CNN anchor or a CNN reporter, and there's a fire right behind, like a raging building on fire, and like people looting and stuff. Like people died in those fires, and they just ignored that. Like, they're just
It's not an alternate reality. The people that he's talking to, the college students he's talking to, are not avid watchers of CNN. I would almost bet money on that. Or Fox. They're actually, I believe they're probably actually in the know.
Yeah. I bet they get a lot of their, well, the thing is, unfortunately, but they get a lot of the news from
Facebook.
From Facebook and social Twitter, media.
Twitter, social media, yeah.
So
that's true. You're right, that's true. I will say this about Twitter. It surprises me how much stuff I find on there that's actually legit. I'm like, oh, this is like real. Mm-hmm. And then I go and find the articles and find the sources and all the crap. But I think it's just because that's the people I followed,
you know?
People I follow are sharing real stuff, you know? But yeah, man, that's really all I got on that whole shebang. So no Facebook war this week. It hasn't really been doing well anyway. I'm trying to figure something else out for that. By the way, guys, if you want to have something else like a Facebook warrior, or maybe, you know what? I really, whenever I get to the point where I can have call-ins, I'll do that instead. So you guys wait for that. That'll be good. Mm-hmm. And we'll have people call in and ask us questions or talk to us about whatever politics. If you don't agree, call in. Like, I would love that, dude. I would so love that. So anyway, that's it for today. Do you have anything else?
I do want to touch on one more thing.
Dude, touch
so
on it, bro.
One of my probably my biggest I think probably my I don't know if he's my biggest, but anyway, a huge influence to me who passed away last year was Rush Limbaugh. And this is another article from the Daily Wire, but Rush Limbaugh prediction clip resurfaces as mainstream media confirm Hunter Biden info and Obama returns to the White House. I don't know if you saw that Biden video where he's like touching Obama's shoulder.
Yeah, Obama is dude, so he was so jealous, bro.
Pathetic.
So he was probably regretting inviting all of those people to the White House.
Well, he didn't invite him. He's not in charge. I don't know what the hell's going on. He just told, oh, you're doing this tomorrow. Oh, okay, okay.
Well, that's what we assume because he's
senile.
He's senile. I mean, Obama's over here getting freaking clout. He's like, hey, what's up? Oh, yeah, hey. Oh, hey, man. And then, like, stately guy, you know, looking all fancy.
Anyway, Limbaugh was like, he was a clairvoyant. Like, he just knew what the hell was going on. He had such clear-eyed vision. It's insane. Like, it's so insane. He had a really good gift of taking a very complicated issue and making it very simple and easy to understand.
Alex Jones. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so Limbaugh in a clip of December 2020 asserted that President Joe Biden would, quote, serve at the pleasure of Barack Obama. So this is from December 2020 after Joe Biden won the election. Predicting that the media would turn on Biden and start to reliably report on the Biden family's questionable business dealings when Obama and leading Democrats thought he was doing too much damage. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yep.
And Limbaugh said, quote, they cannot be critical of Biden. They will not be critical of Biden. They're going to prop up Biden until I'm going to tell you folks, I think we're seeing enough information on the Bidens now to safely say that Biden will serve at the pleasure of Barack Obama. And Barack Obama serves at the pleasure of George Soros. If Obama, quote, Limbaugh continues, if Obama gives the green light to Democrats to take Biden out, there will be ample evidence that Biden has lied about his knowledge, his family was selling his name in office with his permission, and if that's in fact the case, that there's likely unreported money that will be found. The fake news media will temporarily become hard news media if the decision is made that Biden has to step down. Until that time, they'll be covering for Biden, they'll be making excuses for Biden, they'll be ignoring all the negatives. You wait and see, and then watch what happens to their ratings when that happens. Dude.
He called it. I think he called it for sure. I have long set agreed that Barack Obama was definitely behind Biden on all this stuff. Exactly. I already thought that. But it's just like all the rest of it where, you know, it's next up when Biden steps down or is out. And what would we say? You predicted you were like 2 years, you know?
Mm-hmm. Look, you posted
2 years, bro.
It's your boy.
Jack Prosovic, bro! He always posts stuff like that. It's like amazing.
Yep.
And the thing about Jack is I really believe somehow he is embedded there somehow. And he has actual like evidence of stuff. He keeps touting that he has this hard drive, He's like, FBI may have lost their copy, but I have mine. That type of stuff, of the Hunter Biden laptops. It's like, dude, okay, maybe he's faking it. Maybe he's lying. Probably not, just because of what I've seen from him so far. But he was also, guys, if you don't know who that is, he was on the Q documentary as well. Into the Darkness, is that what it's called? I think it's called that. He had ties to some of that stuff. He's not a Q member at all.
Right.
And he definitely says that on the documentary. But you get to see a tiny glimpse of his world, in a sense. Definitely a pundit, if you will. So, political pundit. He served in the Navy for Navy intelligence. That's where he gets all of his info and stuff like that, knowing the tie, the connections he has and everything else. He definitely was on a high level of security, so security clearance. So, that's his history.
Yeah, I will say, I stand by my prediction. I don't think he's going to last.
We said two. You said 2 years, right?
Yeah.
You said 2 years, Biden's out.
So next January, that'll be...
whether he dies or whether he's
cut off. Thing is, like...
unfit for office.
Like the late, great Rush was saying, like, as soon as he becomes unuseful or not useful anymore, oh, they're going to... like a pack of wolves, bro. They will come for him, and he will be gone so fast. And they'll do the same to Kamala. She'll do a terrible job. They'll prop her up just like they do with anyone.
And then who's next? Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I mean,
you think
technically Secretary of State's next.
Oh,
but
okay,
but Kamala would appoint whoever she wanted to the vice presidency, and they would be next.
Right. I'm just wondering who would be thinking about it. AOC.
It'd be Cory Booker.
Cory Booker, huh?
Yeah.
That's quick. Maybe that's, you're a clairvoyant.
That would be my guess. That would be my prediction. But who knows? Who knows who she would pick? She's...
well, dude, Rush Limbaugh, man. The man. The man himself. The myth, the legend. The,
yeah.
You know, overall
the
great.
OG. Yeah.
Absolutely the OG, man.
Him and Mark Levin are the two, I think, you know.
In radio.
Yeah.
I can only dream of being, you know, as good as that.
Yeah, same.
You know? All right, guys. It's been fun. It's been real.
Stay.
Has not been real.
Toasty.
Fun.
Let's get
back to that. Stay toasty. That's why I'm trying to call you, girl. Why? Why's not bearing up here for that? See when I seem to be back for that. Learn as I go, just snag for that. Back for that. But this ain't one of them boom boom paps, and this ain't one of them smash collabs, and I go hard like smash and grab, it's a beer. Yeah. Now all I want to do is make clear that all I'm trying to do is rap, but not like one of them mumble queers, cause all they seem to know is trap. You notice how I switch the flow for y'all? Just to see y'all clap. Look, when it comes down to it, I'll get right down to it. Yeah. Toasty.